Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 23rd chapter of Acts with the 35 verses. Translation and commentary. And then also we have Spiritual Warfare, Part 16. We also have three letters here. One from Mexico and two from Africa. Right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this service. Father, we thank You for Your inward anointing, for the Spirit of You, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, You all came into us at one time, making us one with You. And Lord, the purpose that You have saved us, the purpose that You died on the cross, Jesus, with the Father and the Spirit, which is the Spirit, God is the Spirit, was that there's a purpose for saving us, and that was to grow into us and cause us to grow into the fullness of the body or the stature of Christ. You wanted us to become one with You in Your work as Your body moves. So we need to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And we ask, Lord, that You baptize all those in the Holy Spirit so that can be involved, that are saved, so that they can be involved with the ministry as we are. Lord, we ask that You anoint everything in this service. Let there not be anything said that isn't coming from You in the Spirit, from heaven, as we're united with You in the Spirit, and therefore we're sitting with You in heavenly places. Lord, we ask that You open every heart, mind, soul, and spirit to receive the things that You'll be outwardly and pouring out on me today. And that it will be received with gladness, joy, and great hope in all those that hear. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Coahuila, Mexico.
All right.
Thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ that I am writing you to wish you a million blessings. May the Lord Jesus continue to illuminate you so that you can continue writing this literature so inspired in the divine teaching. Regarding the literature that you sent me, after praying, the literature began to be distributed. I want you to know that there are many brethren that are hungering for the words of life to give them encouragement to continue fighting in the Lord Jesus Christ's way. May God our Lord continue to inspire you so that the world can continue being so nourished from this manna. May God fill you with blessings. Thank you. Signed, J.V.A. from Coahuila, Mexico.
I know that there are so many hundreds of millions of people that are seeking the Lord. And they're seeking for it on with television programs and so on. And you've got a lot of people that have television programs that are definitely not with the Lord. They're actually Catholics. And they're coming out more and more every day, letting all of us know who they are. I've known for years that they are with the Vatican and that they are enforcing its doctrines to people, unsuspecting people. Yet they're not ashamed of that cult, that they really are members of. Then why do they hide it? Why don't they just come out and say they're Catholics? They know very well, because most everybody that is learned knows that it's a cult, dangerous cult. It has a horrible reputation down through the years, and it has become so clever down through the years that its multis of millions of people cannot detect the evil that it's doing in this world today. But there are just so many hungry people that want to know the truth, and I just thank and praise the Lord that they recognize it when they hear it. These words that I preach and teach are not my own at all. They're simply in the Bible, and if you would pick up the Bible and read it for yourself, you'll see that they are not preaching the truth. You'll see that what I'm doing here is preaching the truth. And it's so wonderful to hear letters, to receive letters from pastors all over the world that tell me that they have relied primarily on teachings from the Vaticanites, and now they realize by reading the Bible after hearing my word that I have a unique way of breaking down the scriptures to where it's very easy for them to understand. And now they're using this literature that the Lord has given me. It's the Lord's doctrine, not my own, although I've adopted that as being my own as well, but I didn't make it up. It's right out of the Bible. And they're using the scriptures, and they boast of hundreds of millions of souls that are being saved. All of some of the churches in Africa have 500,000 or 1.5 million, 2 and 3 million people in their churches. And there are people all over the world that have 5 members, 10, 20, 100, 1,000, 1,500, and all adds up. We just get hundreds of letters from all over the world. And I guess it's over 200 countries now. Then, of course, we have the website, and just to hear, you know, we don't ask any money. There's so many poverty-stricken people in the world. It rejoices my heart just to know that they're getting the real thing, the real deal, the real gospel, free of charge. And if they need any Bibles or any more of my literature that the Lord has given me, again, it's the Lord's literature. It's free of charge. God just gave it to me freely, and it's yours freely as well. All right, now, well, where's the next letter from?
From Zambia.
Zambia where?
Africa.
See, a lot of people don't know where Zambia is. If they're from Charlotte, North Carolina, or Windham, Montana, or Lewistown, Montana, or Lewiston, Idaho, this is Zambia. You got to tell them what country, all right? Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope the Lord is and will continue anointing you for the tremendous work you are doing. Pastor, I am really encouraged with the way you are handling God's work, that through your literatures I am a changed person, and I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. I received the literatures and a small note in which you asked me to choose what can be sent to me, either a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, and what size. You can send a sweatshirt size large. May our Lord Jesus Christ double the blessings upon you and the ministry at large, yours in his service, L.J. from Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. The reason that some of these people are talking about sweatshirts in their letters after they've received salvation is they want to become distributors, and for anyone that becomes a distributor, the Lord has laid it on my heart to give them these t-shirts, sweatshirts, and jackets. We have denim jackets that are, they have mentioned the name of the church on the back of it, and so, you know, if you want to be a distributor and you'd like to have a t-shirt, just order them. The Lord has told me to give them out free of charge also. Okay, and then where's the next letter from?
From Uganda, Africa.
Okay.
I got saved after reading your literature. I do not have a Bible, however, yet am hungry for the Word. Please send me a Bible. Thank you for the work. Signed, A.B. from Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I was just in the service yesterday and Sunday, which was July the 3rd. Right now it's July the 4th. 2005, and the Lord gave me a strong message, and there was 4 or 5 souls that got saved. That's all that was there, unsaved people at the service. And I believe 3 of them moved, with 3 people moved in yesterday. One was a Hebrew lady, and there were 2 men that moved into the church. They had a lot of zeal and want to serve the Lord. And then there's other people in the church that were strengthened, edified, because when I go into a church service, I'm there with the purpose of reigning, ruling, and having authority over any demonic thing that would be in that service, and I'm there to take it over. And there are people there that some people want to, they get discouraged, and they just feel that maybe heaven isn't worth carrying the cross for. They get a little bit weary, and they want to just throw in the towel and set the cross down and just live a miserable life, which sometimes people find it much more not miserable to just go and do their own thing. They figure, well, we've got plenty of money, we've got a job, there's no need for us to live under strict conditions or to discipline ourselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And it's far more comfortable to just do our own thing. You can be comfortable in this world, but I'll tell you, you can be comfortable in this world by refusing to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be more comfortable by not disciplining yourself to just do your own thing, as you are currently doing, or as you did before you were saved. But it's far better to learn of the Lord and to be disciplined. The Lord kept the people of Israel out on the desert for 40 years because he wanted them to be his chosen people. He wanted them to deny their flesh, to deny themselves, to deny their opinions, their ideas, and let themselves be harnessed by the Word of God, so that they can be fitting for the kingdom of God. If people don't lay down their old lives, and sometimes, you know, when we first started out in this work around 41 years ago, some of us had to sleep on the floor, and I was used to living in actually some of the Trump apartments and hotels over in New York City, and I lived in the finest places, and it was but I got so much fear from the Lord when he revealed himself unto me, because I didn't believe that he existed. I had so much fear of him that it was a joy for me to know that this was the right way to go, to have to sleep on the floor, to not have everything I want, to not have all the food I wanted and everything, because I wanted to shape up. Now, God gave me a woman that was extremely smart in the Lord. She had pastored churches. And she gracefully, when God put us together as man and wife, she gracefully went down to the bottom of the barrel with me. She said, I've been through all this. And she says, now because of you, I have to go down to the bottom of the barrel, because you're going to have to learn that, you know, this being a Christian is not the most comfortable thing in the world any more than our spirits living, I said, well, our spirits living in a human body is not the most comfortable place to live in a human body, because a human body has to get up in the morning and it has to go through all kinds of things to get ready to go to work or whatever you have to do. And so, but being in the body of Christ is not the most comfortable thing either. When we get saved, God called us for a purpose, and that was to get disciplined, to become like him. And we can't become like him living in a comfortable environment and just getting up and having no purpose during the day. God called us for a purpose, and if we're in the body of Christ, the body of Christ, and Christ, the head of that body, has a purpose for everyone to do. And so we have to align ourselves with that body and get to thinking the way that the Lord thinks, because he tells us, put on the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ was never, let's go to the movies, or let's go to the beach, or let's go somewhere to the stage plays, or to the Hollywood Bowl, or wherever, go fishing. That wasn't what the Lord's purpose is. He wants us to first discipline ourselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, so that we can fit into the body of Christ, so that we can become part of the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The actual fullness of the stature of Christ is when is the entire body of Christ, of hundreds of millions of different Christians. And we cannot live outside the body of Christ, outside the church or the bride of Christ, and be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. We have to discipline ourselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, so that we can fit into the body of Christ, so that we can be acceptable into the kingdom of heaven. And we have to follow the Lord's lifestyle. He had no certain dwelling place where he should lay down his head. Many times, I'm sure, he just laid down with a rock as his pillow. A smooth, nice, smooth rock would be something very fine for him to come by. And also, he may have lived in a cave and for sure out in the deserts. And he said that he had no certain dwelling place. So, you know, people have to get used to that. They can't figure out why is God not blessing them. Like Billy Graham, he was saying he's got cancer of the colon. He's got water on the brain. He's got a broken hip and all kinds of complications with him. And he's only 86 years old. Why, I know friends of mine are in their 90s, and they're water skiing, and they're playing tennis, and all sorts of things, because my friends and I were in the health studio business, the health clubs, and we lived pretty, very clean lives. And so Billy Graham is teaching on Larry King's show. He was being asked, will homosexuals go to hell? And he says, well, I don't really know. Well, God has called us to be bold and to preach the gospel the way the Bible really teaches. Well, if this man is supposed to be a Bible scholar, a teacher, a preacher, he should have told him, well, homosexuals and all sinners send their own souls to hell when they don't repent and forsake their sins. And that includes homosexuals. You can read about that in the first chapter of Romans, where it states that these people, because they continue on in the sin of homosexuality, lesbianism, and all this, that they're worthy to be put to death. And so I can't understand why he says, well, that's not my call. My call is to preach the love of the Word of God. Well, the love is to warn people of what's going to happen to them if they don't repent. That's what love is. The Bible says that love is the keeping of God's commandments. So what kind of love does he have by preaching a smooth, false, one-sided gospel that is no gospel at all? Love is the keeping of God's commandments, and it is teaching people that you cannot sin and enter the kingdom of heaven, because he that sinneth, the Bible says, is of the devil. And how can people know what sin is if the preachers don't tell them? And how can they go tell them unless they've been sent by the Lord? I've been sent by the Lord to tell people the truth, not to lull them into the pits of hell, as some of these Catholic pseudo-Christians say they're Christians, but they're not Christians at all. They say, well, you can't say these things about this highly dignified Billy Graham. I thought he was too, but my God, when he tells people he doesn't know if homosexuals are going to hell, God said they were, and they send themselves to hell by not forsaking that sin and living according to the gospel. Now, Billy Graham, if he doesn't love the Word of God, the Bible says that God sends him strong delusions to make him believe a lie. See, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if his name is Billy Graham or Graham Cracker. All right? That doesn't mean anything to God. It just means something to people, because people are so prone to idolatry. And they love the people that tell them lies, and they hate the people that tell them the truth. That's why the Apostle Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? People wanted to stone him to death. They wanted to throw me in prison, and in fact they did, for preaching the gospel. And they put me in jail many times for distributing literature But I've been called to preach the truth. But who can separate us from the love of God? Can persecutions, trials, tribulations, or anything, famine, or nakedness, or nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? I will go through any trial, tribulation, and even death to bring the truth to you. And if anyone, Larry King better not ever ask me that question on television, because, or radio, or anybody better not ask that question to me if they don't want to receive a truthful answer. Yes, homosexuals, unrepentant homosexuals, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, liars, lesbians, all these people will spend eternity not only in hell but in the lake of fire, and they'll be gnashing on their tongues for pain and crying out to God forever. The Bible says that these are sins, and sin is of the devil. He that sinneth is of the devil, and it's for sure no devil is going to enter the kingdom of God. And if you don't love the whole truth of the Word of God, God sends you strong delusions to make you believe a lie that your soul might be damned forever. Now, that's the kind of God we really have. Now, God loves you if you want to receive Him, but if you reject Him, His Word, God esteems His Word higher than His name. If you want to reject His Word, God doesn't love you at all. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And the Apostle Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we convince men, we preach to men, we try to convert men, because we know that if we don't, we will be castaways. We'll go to hell just like Satan is going to hell in the lake of fire. We have to convince the gainsayer, the Bible says, because if we don't, if we preach a false doctrine like we don't know if sinners are going to hell, like Billy Graham says and so many of these other people, that shows that he doesn't love the Word of God. And for sure, he more than likely, much more than likely, has been given a mind that has been, that's a reprobate mind, rejected by God. God has no doubt sent him strong delusions, and they really believe what they're saying as much as I know what I'm saying is the truth. I can't be wrong, because it's what I'm preaching matches up with the Word of God. This man is saying the exact opposite of what God says, and so are all these other false prophets. There's millions of them all over the world on television. You see them everywhere. And they're ashamed of the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Bible says, is Christ. And he says, anyone that's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. So don't be ashamed to preach the gospel. And even if it brings you to your death, don't be ashamed, because the minute the breath goes out of your body, you're going to be right there in the kingdom of heaven with all the with Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, with all the saints and any of your loved ones that have gone on, and friends before you. And it doesn't hurt to die. I mean, I've felt the Lord pull the Spirit in and out of me before, and it didn't hurt at all. But I knew I was going to hell if he would have, because I was unsaved at the time that he did that. And, you know, your spirit just leaves your body. Your body becomes numb. So I'm not afraid to die. I've been preaching this gospel, the truth, now for going on 41 years, and I'm more zealous to preach it today, because the more I study it and the more I see the things that happened to me the way that the Lord says it would happen to me for preaching the gospel, the more I'm sure that what I'm preaching is the truth. And the more I live and the more I see the end of time coming, I see all the prophecies being fulfilled, the more sure I am of what the Bible says is the absolute truth. There's no possible way that a book could be written and be predicting the things that are happening in the world today without it. It's just every detail is right on. And so I'm so happy to be saved today. And, you know, any day, I always figure it could be that a bunch of soldiers or police officers could rush into the door and knock it down. They've done that to me on several occasions before. And this time they might say, let's just kill him. Let's just make this another turkey shoot like we did Waco. Just come in and get all Christians. Just annihilate them. Because Satan knows that this is the last days. And he knows that people are coming into this world that are being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and they're bringing in the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says that the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of God. And Jesus instructed us just before he went up into his ascension, up into the kingdom of heaven. He said, go ye into all the nations preaching the truth, and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because the kingdom of heaven is not observed, it's within us. The Spirit of God comes into us, and tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we come here to invade the kingdom of Satan, which is right here on this earth. And why do you think that Satan is saying so many evil things? Why do you think that the Lord predicted that we'd be persecuted? Why do you think that the Lord says that they'd say all manner of evil against us because they said the same thing about him? It's because we are coming into this territory, the kingdom of Satan, with and telling everybody that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of God. Now, you, Satan, move out of the way. But we're telling the truth, and all he has to do is just throw lies. That's all he can do. He can't tell the truth. The only thing that Satan can do is lie. He's the father of lies. He's the liar and the father of it. He couldn't tell the truth if he were in the flesh, if you put a machine gun on his head and start firing rounds in it. He could not tell the truth. He can't. So everything you're hearing in the world today is a lie. It doesn't mean anything. There's no value, spiritual value, eternal value to anything in the world that anybody is saying. I'm talking about presidents, kings, queens. They're nothings to listen to. But the Word of God is, and the people that are preaching it are the ones to listen to. And don't listen to religion. The Bible tells us plainly that religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. So if you boast of being with some major religion, forget about it. Be it those of us that really know the Lord that are saved, we just think that stinks. Religion can't get you into heaven, but only Christ can. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's start on the book of Acts, chapter 23.
King James Version, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Verse 3. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Verse 4. And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priests? Verse 5. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.
Right, but Paul, that is not speaking evil, I don't believe. I mean, Paul said a lot of things like that, but it is, if that were truly a high priest that were of the Lord. But it's not being evil to tell people the truth of what they're doing wrong, whether they're a person sitting in high esteem or not. Let's go into the translation now and continue on with it, because the Lord gave me more to say than I thought he would to this point. Everything that I said was right from the throne of the Lord in heaven. All right, go ahead.
Verse 1. Gazing intently at the high council, Paul began, quote, Brothers, I have always lived before God in all good conscience, exclamation point, end quote. Verse 2. Instantly, Ananias the high priest commanded those close to Paul to slap him on the mouth. Verse 3. But Paul said to him, quote, God will slap you, you whitewashed wall, exclamation point.
That's true. That was true. That's more true than what the king says in the King James. All right, then what?
What kind of judge are you to break the law yourself by ordering me struck like that? Exclamation point. Verse 4. Those standing near Paul said to him, quote, "Is that the way to talk to God's high priest?" Verse 5, "I'm sorry, brothers, I didn't realize he was the high priest," Paul replied, "for the scriptures say, quote, do not speak evil of anyone who rules over you," end quote. Verse 6, Paul realized that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees.
Yeah, see, but Paul, that man would not, I would not say that, because the man does not rule over me. God rules over me, and I've been called to reprove and to rebuke anyone that's doing anything that's contrary to the scriptures. And so in that regard, I'm smarter, I believe, than Paul. All right? And so I would certainly have answered. But Paul was very, very clever, and I'm sure that what he was saying at that point, it all depends. I've always been very gracious when they take me into court myself. I just only answer the way that the Lord tells me. So I know that Paul was led by the Lord, and so therefore he was, that was the Lord talking. All right, and then what else? He'd say something like that to ensure that the people that were hearing him would not lose their souls for him acting what he might have thought, they might have thought to be inappropriately. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 6. Paul realized that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees.
See, so he's using his cunning there. He knows that the Sadducees, they're sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
That's why they call them sad, you see. But the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, so he determined that these two groups were here, so he was going to get the Pharisees on his side because he believed in the resurrection. And all he'd have to do to get them on his side is to say, listen, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And praise the Lord. And then he'd get half the people on his side. Okay, go ahead.
Paul realized that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees, so he shouted, quote, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, as were all my ancestors," exclamation point. "I am on trial because my hope is in the resurrection of the dead," end quote. Verse 7, this divided the council, the Pharisees against the Sadducees. Verse 8, for the Sadducees say there is no resurrection or angels or spirits, but the Pharisees believe in all of these. Verse 9. So a great clamor arose. Some of the teachers of religious law who were Pharisees jumped up to argue that Paul was all right. Quote, "We see nothing wrong with him," unquote, they shouted. "Perhaps a spirit or an angel spoke to him," unquote. Verse 10. Shouting grew louder and louder, and the men were tugging at Paul from both sides, pulling him this way and that. Finally, the commander, fearing they would tear him apart, ordered his soldiers to take him away from there and bring him back to the fortress. Verse 11. That night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, quote, "Be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have told the people about me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome," end quote.
Right, sometimes it becomes so frightening, like when I was at trial, the last one, they had all the different criminals, they brought us in together into the courtroom. They unchained the rest of them and kept me chained. And here I had these, they were like unchained the murderers and the drug dealers and all that, and kept me chained up because the world is so against the gospel that they just figure, you know, that we're the worst criminals on the face of this earth because we say that the government is the Antichrist, as the Bible says, and that we are right and they're wrong. And so everybody's attorney comes over and talks to him, but when my attorney came over to talk to me, they shoved him away and told him, "Don't you move. You stay here." And then they had a whole bunch of federal marshals and agents sitting on tables, and they had like these cases that you carry machine guns in, like Uzis and automatic rifles and stuff, and they just kept cold staring me in that courtroom. And I was there on a false tax charge that they drummed up on me. And because we were tax exempt, and not only that, the money that, any money that came in, it all went to feed, clothe, and house people and send gospel literature all over the world, and they tried to make it look like I was living high on the hog. But then when they called me to, they wouldn't let me talk to my attorney. And so they called me up to the witness chair. And while I was going up, one of the marshals got right behind me and was goose-stepping right behind me. And I thought to myself, I must be so highly favored in the eyes of the Lord to be worthy to suffer this kind of persecution and this kind of mockery. And I was just like rejoicing every step of the way. And I thought maybe they would even maybe kill me, and that way I'll be in heaven right away. It was alarming to the other prisoners, because when they put us all in the tank, they said, "Who in the blank are you? What in the blank have you done? My God, we've never seen any criminal. We've been in and out of prisons all of our life, and we've never seen anyone treated like this." I mean, they pushed me and shoved me and slapped me just like they did the Apostle Paul. And even worse, I've been beaten inside of prison. I've been pushed into the hole on many occasions for absolutely nothing. And I just rejoice all the time. And when you're really in the Spirit, that doesn't bother you at all. And when you've seen Jesus and visions of heaven and hell, you realize how beautiful heaven is. When I saw Jesus, I wanted to be with him so bad. It was when he said, "Not now." That really hurt me more than anything that I've ever had said to me in my life. I just wanted to be there and with him so much that I still, that was the biggest disappointment in my entire life, is when he said, "No, not now." So maybe that's why Satan hasn't accommodated me yet. And I just long to be there. And that's why I'm working in the gospel field so hard, is that I want to make sure that I don't lose my position with the Lord in heaven, that I go there, and that there's no chance for me to not go there. I know the Lord loves me, and I know that he honored the fact that I was willing to, and that I'm still willing to take any kind of persecution they throw at me to get the truth to you, because your souls are so precious to the Lord that, and I fear the Lord so much that I, woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel, if I don't get this gospel to you. And so therefore, I discipline myself to the point to where like Paul says, I discipline myself, I beat my body black and blue to make sure that I'm disciplined enough to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit to do everything that the Holy Spirit says, because God wants your soul saved, and there is so few people that will go through this fire, through this persecution, through these character assassination, through the beatings, the smitings, the jailings, the prisons, to get your soul saved. And it doesn't matter what it costs, because I know I'm going to be in heaven. But there's got to be somebody get to you with the truth. And I don't care if they kill me. That's the way it is, because I know what the Lord has called me to do, and really what he's called everybody to do. But who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's been revealed to you through me. And if you want to believe what the Antichrist cult, all of its affiliates that have united themselves, you know, like the United Methodist, it's the Catholic, the Roman Catholic cult with all of its affiliates. It's one world government and the media that is telling you the lies. Now, you either have to believe God or them. And if you believe them, then you've taken the mark of the beast, you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness in this world for that or in the world to come. And so, as for me and my house, I know for sure that I believe the Lord. And you can just see that the whole world and all the political figures in it, which they're lying to you, and you know it. And it seems like a lot of people don't care. They don't mind that they're being lied to. but it irks me, and I will get to you with the gospel until my last breath, because I'm honoring God and I'm honoring you to get the word to you, because without it, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. All right, let's continue on with chapter 23 of the book of Acts.
The plan to kill Paul, verse 12.
See, I mean, they planned to kill me many times. The Lord told me they're going to kill you, so get off the main property. Because if you don't, they're going to go up there and kill everybody up there. They wanted us to be Waco. But I split the church up into several factions in Los Angeles, Arkansas, Fort Smith, the Texarkana area. I opened a church in Chicago, and we've got churches all over the world. And I've written so much literature and gotten it to everybody that they're all preaching the truth now. It's similar to Samson tying the firebrands onto the fox's tail and sending them into the Philistines' cornfield and burning it down. I want to burn Satan's kingdom down with the word of God, which is spirit and it's life. We don't use carnal weapons at all, like they used to say that we did, and I've got so much of that truth out, and they've raided our place many times years ago and found out that we don't even have a squirt gun or a toy gun on our property, and we're harmless as doves. We're wise, but we're harmless as doves. And we are not here to hurt anybody. We do not train people to commit suicide. As a matter of fact, we tell people, if you commit suicide, your soul will go to hell for murdering yourself. You don't belong to yourself. Did you know that? The Lord has called you for Him to live in and do a work in. And you can't pick and choose what you want to do. You can, but there's going to be a penalty that you're going to have to pay for doing it. You're going to have to wind up in hell, in the lake of fire. You send yourself there by not listening to the Lord. You hate His word, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You won't be forgiven in this world or in the world to come either. And they're coming up with this cashless, checkless society where they're going to put a mark on you. So they say, oh, credit cards. I mean, see, everybody's stealing everybody's identity now. And everybody's putting... So the only way that we can stop this stealing people's identity is to put a mark on your hand or forehead, so that we can put a little wand over you like that, and, oh yeah, that's the real Tony Alamo. Well, it's not going to be on me, okay, I can tell you. They're going to have to guess who I am. But really, they don't have to, because they know who I am already, right? And anyone that takes the mark of the beast so that you can buy or sell, that's the unforgivable sin also. It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because you can't be forgiven for it here on earth or in heaven. And so people will say, well, then how are we going to eat? How are we going to provide for our loved ones? Oh, by gosh, I'm going to take the mark. Well, you know, God had His chosen people out on the wilderness for 40 years, and He fed them. He rained down angels' food from heaven. And when He finally convinced them that they should do what He says, they went into the Holy Land, which they could have about two years after they were out on the wilderness, and they took over people's houses that they didn't build, water wells that they didn't build. Do you know that God's going to annihilate one-third of the world population, and those houses are going to be available to Christians, and their fruit trees, and their storage of food and everything? God is really uptight with this world, and He's going to rain down meteorites and every kind of plague there is. And there's going to be very few people on earth. And the ones that are saved, you don't have to worry about food if you really love the Lord and they're walking in the Spirit. It's like the people in Egypt. Not one hair of the heads of any of the chosen people of the Lord were aggravated by the plagues that God was pouring down on Egypt. Because God put him in a certain place, and then He'd rain down all these different plagues on Egypt, and He opened up the Red Sea for the people of Israel to go through, and that's proven. They found chariot wheels in the sea there just recently, and everything is provable that the Bible tells that happened. And so, don't worry, God, if you're like one body of people with Christ, with us, no harm will come unto you. You'll see the worldly people destroyed. They'll be killed. They'll be if they not died from if they don't die from one of the like the meteorite or the whirlwinds, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, and all these things, they'll die of dreaded diseases, which is called pestilence in the Bible. They're going to die that way, or God just plainly pulls the spirit out of you. So it's very important to know these things. It's very important. You know, I'm just telling you these things because God wants me to. All right, let's continue on, please.
Verse 12. The next morning, a group of Jews got together and bound themselves with an oath to neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul.
People think that these things, that all those things just happened back then. Believe me, brothers, sisters, and you unsaved people out here, it's still happening today. Still this very day. Then what else?
Verse 13. There were more than 40 of them. Verse 14. They went to the leading priests and other leaders and told them what they had done. Quote, we have bound ourselves under oath to neither eat nor drink until we have killed Paul. Verse 15. You and the high council should tell the commander to bring Paul back to the council again, end quote, they requested.
And what did they want to kill him for? Because he's preaching the gospel? Bringing the truth to them? Okay, then what else?
Quote, pretend you want to examine his case more fully. We will kill him on the way, unquote. Verse 16. But Paul's nephew heard of their plan and went to the fortress and told Paul. Verse 17. Paul called one of the officers and said, quote, take this young man to the commander. He has something important to tell him, end quote. Verse 18. So the officer did, explaining, quote, Paul the prisoner called me over and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you, end quote. Verse 19. The commander took him by the arm, led him aside, and asked, quote, what is it you want to tell me, end quote. Verse 20. Paul's nephew told him, quote, some Jews are going to ask you to bring Paul before the Jewish High Council tomorrow, pretending they want to get some more information. Verse 21. But don't do it! Exclamation point. There are more than 40 men hiding along the way, ready to jump him and kill him. They have vowed not to eat or drink anything until they kill him. They are ready, expecting you to agree with their request, end quote.
Now, they didn't want to jump murderers or drug dealers or anything like that, but someone's carrying the gospel. They're saying, who the blank are you? Why, why the blank are they treating you like this? Why the blank do they want to kill you? Well, sir, I'm just preaching the gospel. Oh, people wouldn't want to kill you for that. Well, Jesus said they would, and they did kill Jesus, and he never did a wrong thing in the world, but he brought salvation and the truth to every one of us. So don't say that, because the devil has really infiltrated your mind and your spirit and your soul if you believe such nonsense. Yes, of course they want to. You see how they're slapping murderers on the wrist. But what did they do to David Koresh and Jim Jones? These people, I'm not standing up for them because I never really met them. I don't know what their doctrine was, but we had some people come to us and tell us that the Jim Jones, they escaped when the government agents were keep murdering them. And they passed on to the media that they all drank Kool-Aid. You can't talk 1,000 people into committing suicide, for God's sake. What kind of stupidity is that? How stupid can you be to believe something like that? I can't even get a person hardly in my church. I can't talk them into consistently sweep the sidewalk. And I'm sure, for absolute sure, if I ever tried to talk anybody into committing suicide, they would know I wasn't of the Lord, and they would leave immediately. And that's what... So some of these people escaped from Jonestown, and they got back to the United States, and they went from one church to the other telling us, they came into our churches and told us that the government, that's just a nothing, it's a false story, and as many false stories that you've heard the government tell, and that these people were killed by government agents. And the same thing with, I was in prison for the gospel's sake, with the people from Waco that were still alive, and they said they wouldn't let them surrender. They were trying to surrender. They said, we didn't do anything wrong. And we came to the door. David Koresh tried to come to the door, and they shot him in the stomach. They said, I want to surrender. And they just shot him because they said it was a turkey shoot. They just went there to kill him, to have some fun. To these savages, these evil, wicked people, these people that are possessed with demons of the devil, they're possessions of Satan. That's fun for them, you know. That's fun for them to kill people and arrest them put them through all sorts of expense. Like I was in a courtroom here one time, and Sue Lewis is one of the sheriffs, Los Angeles sheriffs, and we were sitting there, and this attorney of mine was really just, she says, isn't this fun? And my attorney said to her, what is this, sick? She says, oh, come on, it's fun, isn't it? Her name was Sue Lewis. Then she later, she came and she says, I want to take, they had me in the cell over at the Los Angeles County Jail, and she said, I want to take a picture with you, Tony, can I? And I says, what for? I said, what's fun? You know, I mean, do you realize how expensive this is? And that you're taking money that we should be spending on the Lord to put me through all these trials and tribulations. And this Mr. Dickstein, who is my attorney, he was just saying, you're the most vile creature in the world, he said to Sue Lewis. He said, you think this is fun? Well, yeah, I mean, and we only live once. And I said, why do you want to take a picture? And the guards were saying, what do you want to take a picture with him for? She says, well, it's just great to have a picture with Tony Alamo. And I thought, man, this woman is sick. These sheriffs are sick. The presidents are sick. The queens, the kings. I went through finishing school, I'll tell you that. But, you know, it's going to be worth it all, because if you keep your mind on the kingdom of heaven and you're going to be there forever, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory to know that the Lord has given you the power to endure these things and to be glad and to be happy that you're going through the same things that the people that were the prophets went through and the apostles and the Lord himself went through. So this is a very exclusive club that I belong to. I'm glad that I went through those things. And I am still preaching the gospel. Nothing has separated me from the love of God and from the love of doing what he says to do. Okay, let's continue on.
Verse 22, quote, don't let a soul know you told me this, the commander warned the young man as he sent him away. Paul is sent to Caesarea. Verse 23, then the commander called two of his officers and ordered, quote, get 200 soldiers ready to leave for Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight. Also take 200 spearmen and 70 horsemen.
See, there was a good man in government there. I've met some good people in government, too, amidst all this. There was a captain at the prison in Texarkana that he said, he came and told me at nighttime, he says, you don't know how many times I've covered for you. There's people in this prison here, officers that really want to kill you. And he says, man, I stood up for you like crazy. And I said, I said, I really appreciate everything you're doing. When they threw me in the hole, he came through inspecting one night, and he says, what are you doing in here? And I said, yeah, what am I doing? Come on, get me out of here. And he says, I'll have you out of here tomorrow. And he sure did. And so there's some nice guys in prisons, and Paul found some of them, too. He was locked up, and there was an earthquake, and the jailer was going to commit suicide because he thought everybody was going to escape, and they didn't. And the man got saved, and his household got saved, too. So there's good people. Don't get it in for everybody in government. Don't even get it into them at all. Let them see the strong testimony that you are, because the Lord wants to save their souls, too. The Lord wants to save the presidents, the queens, the kings, and everything. And so when they see you making a steadfast stand like that, you're the only testimony that they'll probably ever see during their lifetime, because there's so few people that will testify. And so I'm not against them. I'm doing everything. I'm going through all this so that they can see that a person can really stand through all this persecution. At the end of the trial in Los Angeles, where they were goose-stepping me up, at the end of that trial, the Lord really spoke through me there. And everybody, they started, when all the whole courtroom left and I was just there and they had to take me back to the jail from the courtroom, all those officers there acted like, just like little sheep. And they said to me, they were calling me, sir. Is everything, do you feel all right, sir? Do you want some water, sir? And things like that. So my testimony really convicted them. Yeah, I could tell they were under conviction. So just don't, you know, be angry at them or anything, because they really don't know what they're doing. They're just possessions of Satan, and the Lord wants you to be a strong witness in front of them so that they will start calling you sir or ma'am. Okay, and they will. You can't believe that they will, but I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I've lived through it, I've experienced it, and they do call you sir. And they get saved, too. I've prayed people, police officers and sheriffs, through. I've prayed them through in the prison, and also captains, lieutenants. I've prayed Muslims through in prison, all sorts of people. And a lot of them, they really said they admired the stand I'm making for the Lord. It's not in vain, believe me, brothers and sisters, and those of you that are unsaved, get saved and you'll see. People really respect you more than anyone else in the world. Okay, then what?
Verse 24, provide horses for Paul to ride and get him safely to Governor Felix, unquote. Verse 25, then he wrote his letter to the governor. Verse 26, quote, from Claudius Lysias to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings, exclamation point. Verse 27, this man was seized by some Jews, and they were about to kill him when I arrived with the troops. When I learned that he was a Roman citizen, I removed him to safety. Verse 28, then I took him to their high council to try to find out what he had done. Verse 29, I soon discovered it was something regarding their religious law, certainly nothing worthy of imprisonment or death. Verse 30, but when I was informed of a plot to kill him, I immediately sent him on to you. I have told his accusers to bring their charges before you, unquote. Verse 31, so that night, as ordered, the soldiers took Paul as far as Antipatris. Verse 32, they returned to the fortress the next morning while the horsemen took him on to Caesarea. Verse 33, when they arrived in Caesarea, they presented Paul and the letter to Governor Felix. Verse 34, he read it and then asked Paul what province he was from. Quote, Cilicia, unquote, Paul answered. Verse 35, quote, I will hear your case myself when your accusers arrive, unquote, the governor told him. Then the governor ordered him kept in the prison at Herod's headquarters.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the 35 verses, chapter 23, Acts, and now commentary.
Chapter 23, verses 12 through 35. Paul's brave young nephew risked his life to warn his uncle of a plot against his life. With this intelligence information, the Roman commander made adjustments in his plan and moved Paul safely to Caesarea. A military escort accompanied Paul on his journey that very night, and a cover letter to Governor Felix won Paul another chance to speak for himself and for the Lord God. Therefore, God's provision worked through the various people to make Paul one step closer to Rome. God uses little people sometimes, like little children and governors alike, to accomplish His divine will.
Amen. Okay, now this is part 16 of Spiritual Warfare.
Using the weapons of spirituality, using spiritual weapons, the Word of God, in other words. Now, this principle of spiritual warfare is that we must use spiritual weapons. When engaging in spiritual warfare, it is not enough to merely keep the heavenly position, but we must be able to actively use the spiritual weapons.
Hold on. The spiritual position I'm talking about is the ascension position, where we're looking down at everything in the world and observing it spiritually, so that we're able to not let our emotions get a hold of us to where we begin doing things in a carnal way, where we start using guns, bullets, bombs, tanks and planes. All right, so just read that line again. We use the greatest weapon of them all, which is the Word of God. This is the weapon that God Himself used Jesus was God in the flesh, and he didn't use any other weapon, but he's taking over the entire, taking back the world, the entire earth, rather, by his word. That is more powerful than guns, bullets, bombs, planes, and tanks. Okay, go ahead.
When engaging in spiritual warfare, it is not enough to merely keep the heavenly position, but we must be able to actively use the spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons refer to, quote, the whole word of God, unquote, which is also, quote, the whole armor of God, unquote, mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, which includes the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God. All these weapons are spiritual, and when we use them, we must be totally in the Spirit. So you'll be able to say for sure that the basic principle of using the spiritual weapons is that all of our activities must be of the Holy Spirit. 1. Preaching the gospel. 2. Edifying the saints. And 3. Administering the church of the Spirit.
Okay, yeah, that's running the things in the church the way that the Lord tells you to do that, and also to be led by the Spirit. Like yesterday, I was told to go to the service. I had so many other things to do, and when I went there, I didn't really know what I was going to teach or preach, but I kept asking the Lord. Then he told me to bring this particular message that someone was wanting to throw in the towel. And that was for a lot of people in the church. They're getting weary in well-doing. And the Bible says, in your patience, preserve your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Possess your soul. Possess your soul by being patient. Keep the vision of the kingdom of heaven and yourself sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Because if you lose the vision, you perish. When the people have no vision, they perish, the Bible says. There's so many people that long to go to London and see it. So many people from London want to go to the United States or New Zealand or someplace. And if they hold that, so then they figure they've got something to live for. And so in their heart, they say, I want to see the Holy Land, Israel. I want to see the Acropolis in Greece. Over in Athens or Venice or Rome, I want to see all these places. And so they work hard and they've got a purpose. Well, I want to see the kingdom of heaven. This is what we're supposed to do. And if we don't keep that vision, you're going to get discouraged because there's things that we have to go through in this life and in the spiritual realm. And it's going to discourage you. But you've got to keep the vision of how beautiful heaven is. And visualize yourself sitting with Christ in heavenly places so that you're not tempted, because you know you're sitting right with him in the throne there, and you're not going to do any evil while you're sitting with Christ. So always visualize that, and visualize the great reward that you get, eternity in heaven, and you're not going to go to hell, so that no matter what you're going through, you know that it's worth it, more than worth it. There'll be a smile on your face because you see yourself cutting through these trials, tribulations, character assassinations, persecutions of all kind, just like a hot knife going through butter, because you don't let that vision escape you, and you don't let the reward of the Lord escape you, because he makes promises and he can't lie. And he says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments. And so keep all these things on your mind. Meditate on those things. And don't think about what can I get, because the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Everything that you need to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You won't need food. Don't take the mark of the beast. You're not going to need it. God wouldn't tell you to do something. He wants you to trust him. And when you do what he tells you, he'll open up. You'll be able to get as fat as a pig with all the food you're going to eat through these great tribulations. So don't let anybody tell you you're not going to go through the great tribulations, because the Lord's not coming back until immediately after these great tribulations. That's what the Bible says. And so some people think they're going through great tribulations when that tsunami hit. Amen? And when these tornadoes rip through different places and hurricanes. And some people think they're going through great tribulations when they're being eaten up with cancer, tuberculosis, AIDS, and everything else. So don't think that the great tribulations are not here to some folks. And look at the way the government is in a rage because it's run by Satan, and Satan's spirit in the people that run the government are going completely crazy because he knows that his time is short and that he's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire burning forever and screaming. Don't think Satan doesn't scream and all the followers of him. Well, let's continue on here with this spiritual warfare. You know, me preaching this word is spiritual warfare. Me teaching the word is spiritual warfare. I'm fighting everything that you've been told with the word of God. I'm edifying you with the word of God to make you have more confidence in God's word than having confidence in the Antichrist word and all these false things that you hear on television and radio and you're reading. Get your mind off that. Yeah, edifying the church, and I pray. And when you pray, that's spiritual warfare. And when you are making sure that the church is being run properly, your family's being run properly according to the word of God, that's spiritual warfare. It goes on and on. There's so much to spiritual warfare, so continue on.
Whatever kind of activity we are engaged in, such as witnessing to others, bringing them to the Lord, bringing them up in the Spirit, and all the other things that you've learned, everyone must be of the Spirit, and everyone must be able to be so yielded to the Lord that he is able to release his word, his Spirit, in and through us. Anything which is not of the Spirit is of the flesh, so anything which is according to our own view, our own opinions, our own ideas, our own, quote, wisdom, unquote, our own intelligence, is unavoidably a kind of human scheme, and thus of the flesh. It's a fleshly weapon, not a spiritual weapon at all. Therefore, when you are fighting the spiritual fight, all of your activities must be of the Holy Spirit, and it must be the Spirit of the Lord touching the spirit of ours from within our spirit. The Lord's Spirit must be in our spirit. This also is an extremely, very basic, supposed to be known by everyone principle.
Praise the Lord. That was Acts chapter 23, 35 verses, translation and commentary, plus part 16 of Spiritual Warfare. You've heard that three letters, two from Africa, one from Mexico. And until tomorrow, I'll be doing chapter 24 of the book of Acts and part 17 of Spiritual Warfare. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, meditate, keep the vision, keep looking, thinking, knowing that you're there with the Lord. If you're born again, you're with the Lord in heavenly places. Keep that ascended position with him. And meditate on that day and night, and you'll be just fine. You don't have to think about it's going to be years and years. Just do it one day at a time, because you don't know that you'll be alive tomorrow. Either do I. And if you're not, praise the Lord, we'll both be in heaven if I go and you go as well. If I don't see you on this side of eternity, I'll certainly see you in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well then, until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.